Good morning.
Good morning.
This morning you have two for the price of one. Yes, okay.
A few claps.
A few, yeah. Weren't sure. I'm Tom Shirk, and this is Adrian Boykin. And together we want to share a little bit this morning from God's Word. And we're going to preach in stereo today and share a little bit both of our history and our mission together as a church, and as well talk about our future. This is a really important season for us because April, about 15th, marks the 5th year anniversary of our multi-site ministry, our second campus in Erie, Colorado. Last Sunday morning, there were 535 people who worshiped at Erie High School. Yes. And those of you who know our history, we're just going to take a quick sweeping pass over a little bit of our history. 1889, how many of you were here in 1889? Okay, yes, some of you feel like you were. 1889, a group of Swedish immigrants started church, and this was the first church building at Spruce and 17th. And quickly, that was outgrown, and then the church moved to Broadway and Balsam. And then in 1977, we moved to this beautiful facility surrounded by nothing but fields here in Kalmia. And that was in 1977. Over the years of 122 or so years, we've had a wonderful experience together as a church, watching God help us grow. And we've had only 13 senior pastors in 122 years, and this was one of the first. Alex Clint. We're going to bring back that beard. Yeah, we're not going to shave until... no, I'm kidding. It's like the Stanley Cup. I think he also played there in hockey. Anyway, that's Alex Clint, one of our first pastors. He served as the pastor of this church in 1910. Today, Calvary reaches... Last Sunday, we reached almost 1,800 people. We have a wonderful staff, and Adrian is our campus pastor out in Erie. And over the last 5 years, a lot has happened in Erie. Yeah. Tell us a little of that.
So up here on the screen, you see our fourth location, Erie High School. And you probably remember we started, at least many of you remember, we started out in Erie on April 16th, 2006, was our very first Sunday, Easter Sunday. And we brought out about 200 people from the Boulder campus to the Erie campus to help launch that new church venture. As we saw this church, this community rather, in the town of Erie growing, and at that time was 14,000 people and very few churches there. And we said, you know what, if we could have a permanent presence for Christ in that community, how great would that be? And 200 people sacrificially said, I'll be a part of that effort. And this is our fourth location. And then up next on the screen, you'll see our fifth location. Doesn't look too impressive right now. But I tell you, to walk that land, to walk 11 acres of land there off Evans Street and County Line Road in the town of Erie, just north of Erie Middle School and Erie Middle School and Erie Elementary School, really strategically located just north of downtown Erie. I mean, it is a spectacular and beautiful sight and beautiful feeling to be on that land. Tom and a number of elders and pastors, well, we're walking that land probably about 3 months ago, and there was this great synergy amongst the group, though, that were there saying, wow, could this be the place that God would have for us for the long term? We're aware of the fact that back in 2006, when we brought 200 of us from this campus to the Erie campus, it created some holes here. You know, you bring 200 highly active volunteers out of any church and bring them to another location, all of a sudden there's this leadership vacuum and volunteer vacuum. And the thing that's been so incredible is the sacrificial service that's enveloped here at this campus, even as we've started this new campus in Erie. 200 highly active people gone, and yet since that time, all of those vacuums have been replaced with other newcomers who have come in and other leaders who have been developed. You remember back in the fall of 2009, we launched the gathering in which over 150 or so, last week, 220 people meeting down in the gathering more than replaced the people that went out there in the very first place. It's really a sign of God's blessing. When we take a step of faith and move out of our comfort zones, as these folks did in Erie and as many of you have, having to move into these new volunteer roles and new leadership positions, it's a step of faith on our part. And what we've seen repeatedly out in Erie and here in Boulder is that God blesses us when we take a step of faith out of our comfort zone for His kingdom purposes, and He expands our reach. Both here and out in the eastern part of our county, and then on into Weld County as well. It's just been incredible how God has expanded our reach as we've taken this step of faith. Let me share with you just a couple numbers of things that have changed out in Erie since we started back in 2006. We started then with 200. Our first year was a little bit rocky, as it often is. But then we got our legs, and slowly, over the course of the last 5 years, there's been this steady growth such that we have at least 400 people that now call us their church home. We started back then with 6 small groups, and community keeps on developing, and we now have 13 life groups though, that are meeting out there on a weekly or biweekly basis. Then in the fall of 2007, we began renting office space. You might remember that early on, all the pastors and leaders were still officing here, and we said, you know what, we need to expand our ministry out there such that when we have one-on-one appointments and small group meetings and worship rehearsal, that we have a small office space for those things to happen during the week. So we did that starting in the fall of 2007. Then the fall of 2008, we started an adult Sunday school hour with 3 classes, and right now about 65 or 70 adults in there each and every week getting trained up during the 9 o'clock hour and then with the 10:30 service. We've seen dozens of adults and dozens of students get baptized. Early on, we had a staff of about 5 or 6 volunteer high school ministry staff, and we had 5 or 6 students in the high school ministry. The best student-to-staff ratio ever. Now it's not so good because we have about 100 students that we're touching each and every month in our high school ministry, and just a dynamic high school ministry staff of 10 or 15. Recently, we had 34 people go through membership class, and literally hundreds of people have gone through our membership classes out in Erie in these past 5 years. On an average Sunday, we have 60 of us who are volunteering together to do the setup of video screens and resetting the sound system for everything the high school did to it during the week, and teaching our classes and leading worship, and then breaking everything down at the end of each and every service. And I got to tell you, it's been tiring, but mostly it's been a blast. Mostly it has been a blast to see the way God has worked in that campus. If we've taken this step of faith, and He's rewarded that and brought more people into His kingdom and built us up to be more and more like Christ as we've served His purposes. Tom's going to lead us here a bit in talking about our next step together as one church in 2 locations, how it's going to unfold during this next phase of our ministry.
Yeah. So our mission is building a Christ-centered community of people fully devoted to loving God and loving others. And we do it here in Boulder and in the gathering. And for those of you who are watching this service at 10:30 on the screen, which you'll be doing soon, we do this to Erie by video on many weeks. And yet, today, on a regular basis, Adrian is preaching in Erie at the Erie campus while I'm preaching here. And we work together on the sermons, and what you're seeing is the development of ministry and the furthering of a footprint. I remember in 2006 when we called on the congregation to say, how many of you would like to go to Erie to start this new campus? And when over 200 people said, yeah, we'll go, I was so excited until the very first Sunday that they were all gone. And I thought, wait. We didn't realize all the implications of losing 200 people who are really high capacity volunteers. But as Adrian said, God has just really grown our church by that step of faith. And in fact, today, while I'm preaching with Adrian this morning, what you're seeing is a little bit of the model of what God wants for our church: to develop people, to develop preachers, to develop leaders, and to build His kingdom. The church is comprised of the people God redeems and grows and develops. And really, when we talk about our next step, we're talking about becoming increasingly a church of people who are built up into the likeness of Jesus. So we're going to talk about three things this morning as we think about our next step: being a church of building, blessing, and bridging. We talk about building. We're talking about building into the lives of people. And building people because we want our church not to be a place where everybody comes to consume religious goods and services, but a place in which people can come and grow in their faith, be trained in the likeness of Jesus, and grow up and become equipped to become a blessing to the world. That's really why the two of us are preaching today, because we want you to know that it really is our model to mentor and to replicate and ultimately to be a multiplying church, that we would be the kind of community here that trains people up and send to the world. And what our dream is that Erie would also be a congregation in a place that is also a developing church in which leaders are trained and equipped and sent out into the world. If you have your Bible, I want you to open with me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, in which Paul talks a little bit about his mission and what he's about as the apostle training people. We build people. That's the mission of the church. We build buildings as necessary, but we're aiming at building people and enlarging the kingdom of God around the world. And what we would really pray is that God will build our congregation in such a way that we would be a congregation that replicates and multiplies itself 60-fold, 80-fold, 100-fold. And that's why we're talking about our next step, perhaps moving ahead as a congregation to build a second campus in Erie, Colorado. Colossians chapter 1, verse 28 says, "We proclaim Him, Christ, admonishing every man, teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ." Here Paul says the real mission of his work as an apostle, which we receive as ourselves, and the hope that we pray this will be true of us, that we are proclaiming Christ, teaching the Word of God without compromise, so that Calvary is the place where we grow up in our faith. Teaching, admonishing, which is to communicate the truth of God, and sometimes to warn, to encourage, to say, this is what the Lord has for us, this is what the Lord wants for us. And we learn and teach all that Jesus commanded us. So we've just finished the Sermon on the Mount, and throughout that series we said, what we want to do is we want to incorporate what Jesus taught into the way we think about our life. And we want to build into the role of people. The role of the church is to bless its congregation. The role of the pastors and teachers of the congregation is to help us understand what is the Word of God and how we can live it. One of the reasons that we have to think about building another campus is because we've, in some ways, outgrown our capacity to really train and develop people. In our culture, a place to meet is an important dimension of how we can really effectively build people. We would say that a church is not the building, right? It's not the building, it's the people. But in our culture and in our style of ministry, a building helps us do that. There was a wedding this week. I don't know if you saw it, but there was a wedding over in another country. And there was a particular church in which the wedding was held. That's what we're thinking about building. No. No. No, we're not gonna build that. The church is not the building, it's the people. But a building can help us do that. The ability to do that on a weekly and daily basis is somewhat contingent upon a place to meet, a place where people can grow, a place to minister to families, to kids, to students, where women can meet together for Bible study, and where people can come, and where our building really becomes a bit not only where we build our people, but becomes a blessing to community.
Right, right. Thanks, Tom. Yeah, you know, that's really number two here, blessing our community. Why are we venturing into this next phase? It's to bless our community. First, to build our people up, but second, to be a blessing to the community around us. We've talked a lot, particularly during the Sermon on the Mount, about what does it mean for us to be the kind of church that goes into the community, and how is the church to interact with the culture at large? And there have been a number of different answers that have been given over the years, particularly by the American church, generation after generation, for how the church is to interact with culture at large. You're probably familiar with this language, Bub, because we've used it before, but it bears repeating that many churches over the generations have said, you know what, the way we are going to work with our community isn't really so much to work with them, but to be a force against our community. Because we see these things in our community which we really don't like, and so the very best thing we can do is build a coalition, oftentimes based on what we're against, and then develop an outcry against the city that we live in. And then we wonder why people don't want to be with us. And so we've just said at Calvary, you know, we're not going to do that. We don't want to be a force that goes on the attack. But then others have said, well, then let's be a fortress. And the fortress mentality of the church is, well, we're going to kind of go into hiding and develop ourselves, build ourselves up as much as we possibly can, which is obviously necessary. That's a piece. But we really don't want to interact all that much with the culture around us because we know we don't really care for it. But when Jesus invites us to be salt and light, we pause and we just say, well, what does that mean? How do we be the salt of the earth? How do we be the light of the world in the communities, though, that we live in? And I'm so thankful for a verse like this one from 2 Corinthians 2 that says, thanks be to God who always leads us in his triumph in Christ. It's 2 Corinthians 2:14. Listen to these words. And manifest through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place that we go. Imagine that. The sweet aroma of Christ through your knowledge of Christ that emanates from you wherever you go. Not a force that seeks to overtake. Not a fortress that retreats into hiding, but this sweet aroma of Christ, this fragrance, when uncorked, people say, oh, yeah, I'd like a little bit more of that. Let me give you just one example of how this has happened in our church out in Erie just in the past few months. It's happened multiple times over the past, you know, decade or so here at Calvary, but here's just one example. Back about 3 or 4 months ago, when we first became aware of this property where we're talking about, I had the privilege of being able to meet with Rick Ring, the chief of operations up at St. Vrain Valley School District. And I called him up and I said, my, that name just seems so familiar. And he was the one that was listing the property from St. Vrain. So I went to go talk to him about that property, asked him questions, and why does that name sound so familiar? I walk in the room and I said, oh, I remember who you are. You were the first person we talked to when we were brokering a relationship for Calvary to begin working with St. Vrain for ShareFest. And ShareFest was this all-church effort that aimed to refurbish schools and community organizations and homes in our community. And so I walk in there, and the very first thing Rick Ring wants to do with me is talk about ShareFest. He doesn't want to talk about the land just yet, though he does want to sell the land. But we sit there and we talk for about 10 minutes, and then he just gets to the point and he says, you know, Adrian, we've had lots of different community groups come into our schools over the years. And it's just not the same as when you all came into Erie Middle School and Erie Elementary School. You all showed such great care for the schools themselves and the way you wrote individualized notes to all the teachers and said that you really cared about what we were doing as educators. We miss having you in those schools. Is there any chance that we could restart that again? He said. Then a couple weeks later, Jennifer Jones, who leads our Embrace Erie High ministry out at Erie High School, Jennifer and I were meeting with Principal Steve Payne at Erie High, and he said, you know, in the context of a number of different conversations, we just eventually asked him, what else could we be doing? How else could we support you? And he said, you know, Adrian, after 6 years and 800 students, our building is starting to show its age a bit. There's starting to be some wear and tear. And I've heard that you guys did some great projects for Erie Elementary School and Erie Middle School. And, you know, I'm retiring in a year and a half, and my hope is to leave this school as in great a shape as it was when I first entered 6 years ago. Do you think there's any chance you could get some of your people to do that kind of great project that you did for us, your evangelical church, to come into our public school and continue to bless us the way you did for these other schools in our community? What is that? That's the fragrance of Christ. I don't share that to toot our own horn in any way, but simply to say there is power in this kind of ministry. I mean, when people are around that, what they smell is humility and grace and generosity, and they say, please give me some more of that. Let me share with you one more statistic. This one's kind of sobering. In the 5 years since we started our Erie campus, 6 Christian churches that have been meeting in temporary facilities have shuttered their doors. We want to be the long-term fragrance in our community. Not short-term. We want to make a difference there. The same way as this church has made a difference for 122 years, we could imagine, what would it be like in 2000, I can't even do the math, 2100 and something, when people look back and say, wow, Calvary Bible Church in the town of Erie, over 100 years. Wow. It's not about the bricks and mortar. I can tell you, I really don't care about that. I really don't. It's about having a facility that throughout the week can be a blessing to the community. Yes, to build up our people, but also to be a blessing to the community at large. It's amazing how this facility is used on a week-in, week-out basis by all these different community organizations. The Boulder Community Hospital, EFA, Safe House, all kinds of support groups, addiction recovery groups, the homeless shelter. I mean, in order to be this long-term blessing to the community, a facility really helps. What we're after is unconditional love to our communities. Unconditional blessing, no strings attached blessing to our community. That's what we've been doing here in Boulder, and that's what we've been trying to do in Erie FUF for the past 5 years. And that's what we're going for with this next stage, this next phase of building our people, then blessing our community, and then what inevitably is going to come out of that, what does come out of it here and is happening in Erie, but we trust can happen even more through a building, is that we're able to extend bridges into our community, extend bridges even to the world through a facility to call our own. One of my absolute favorite verses is found in 2 Corinthians 5. If you want to turn over there, 2 Corinthians 5, 17 says, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. The old things have passed. Behold, all things are new. I love that verse, but because it says a cracked, old, broken vase like me can be turned into a vessel that could be used by God, saved by God. Then he goes on in the very next verse to say, God doesn't just want to save us, he wants to send us. Verse 18, now all these things are from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. And then in verse 20, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making his appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Now, as I just said, we don't bless our community because we want them to be Christians. We bless our community because we are Christians. Period. And that honors the heart of God. But inevitably, what happens when you bless your community repeatedly, day after day, when you go into your neighborhood and you seek to be a blessing to your neighborhood day after day after day, people get curious. And then inevitably, you get this opportunity to extend bridges of the Father's love to them. And then what happens is these glorious names, ordinary folks like you and me get to take on these extraordinary names that Paul is talking about here. Reconcilers, ambassadors, bridge builders. That's you. That's me. I mean, can you believe that? That God would have us to take on this role in our world? Ordinary people like you and me, with our particular personalities, with our very unique personalities, I can say that because I'm one of them, our unique strengths and weaknesses, God wants to involve us in this tremendous drama of touching other people, extending bridges into the world. That he would use feeble people like us to convey the unconditional love of God to those who do not yet know Christ's forgiveness. I mean, that is really the best news. It's the best news that's still out there. And we get to be ambassadors of that reality.
Amen.
You know, a building can help us with that, Bub, because having a building enables us to be this sending center. Where, you know, what Tom did for me, what Tom did for Gary Osborne, what many people in this church have done for numerous young leaders in this church is build us up, teach us, develop us, and then deploy us. And we're praying that a facility will allow us to do that same thing out in Erie, to develop people, to send leaders, to be able to create bridges to the world. Many of you found Calvary Bible as your church home because you entered into this room and you felt safe. You came into this facility and you said, wow, there's a warmth here where I can talk about spiritual things. I can ask my spiritual questions. And I got to tell you, that's my story too. I came to this place 11 years ago. And when I came here, I was brokenhearted. It was my pre-Susie days. I was broken down. I had no friends. And I'm telling you, I had no community. And I came to this room not knowing a soul. And I was welcomed and blessed and loved, and then baptized, and then developed. And this is what God wants to do. This is his very simple plan for the world, is bring people into a community, and they feel vulnerable and weak, but they know that they can ask their questions in that community, they can grow spiritually in that community, and potentially be developed, and then reconcilers, ambassadors, bridge builders between this lovesick Father in heaven in a world that he wants to redeem. My friends, this is what we're going after. This is our next step. It's not a new vision by any means. You all know this vision. But it's a furtherance, a next step in our vision as we look at expanding the capacity of our ministries out in Erie. Mm-hmm.
Building, blessing, bridging. And it's a good illustration. The young man can preach, right? And that's a work of God, extending bridges around the world. I was talking to the Sundays before church, and they're getting ready to go to Saudi Arabia for the next 6 weeks. God bless you as you go. That's the mission of Calvary, to go into all the world. What we're praying is that God will continue to create a footprint for us. As Adrian said, in the same way that this campus has been here now since 1977 here, but been a presence in community of Boulder for 122 years, the date is 2,133. a group of members in the Erie campus will say in the year 2,133, 122 years ago, there was a group of people from Boulder who helped to support the building of our first building in Erie. And that's our dream. Not a new direction, but a next step for us. Let me tell you what's happened. On March 14th, we had a congregational meeting as a church. And 177 of 178 people in our church said, yes, we're going to go buy this land. That 11 acres that you saw. And that decision to build, to buy that land, overwhelmingly, a beautiful 11 acres, is our dream to be the site of our second campus. And today we're introducing to you what we think is going to be the first of two phases for us in our becoming a church in Boulder and Erie to build, bless, and bridge to the world. And phase one is to buy this land, which we elected to do. It's $685,000. More of that in a moment. You know it's only a vacant parcel of land. So it has to also include a building that we're going to put on it. And that will be a later phase, relatively near term, but second phase, phase two. And that in a preliminary operating budget will be somewhere around $4.5 million to build that property out and put a campus on it. It's a target figure for us for phase two. We need to talk this morning about how will we do this as a congregation. One congregation in two locations. And it's my privilege to say to you today that we're going to do this to the best of our ability as a congregation that works together. It'll go something like this. I want to give you some principles that will guide us. We love you, and we know that you are a congregation that for many decades has been built up in the teaching of the Word of God. We have a mature church. And I know that you believe in the expansion of the kingdom. I also know, and so do the elders, that you are a very generous church. And we've done projects together in which we've said, we sense this is what the Lord wants us to do. And you've responded in doing so many large efforts from our kingdom assignments and selling possessions and giving away thousands of dollars. And what we just did at the Advent Conspiracy at Christmas to raise over $170,000 and give it all away. But our next step that we're going to take by faith as a congregation is going to be for this facility that will increase the footprint and the future of Calvary. We've done several outside projects. Now the next step is to develop sort of inside so that we can be fortified for the next decades as a church. So Calvary Bible can be in Erie in the same way we've been here. And that's probably worth repeating that we do not believe that buildings are our first priority and people are. We've said that. What we're talking about this morning is the raising of $685 for phase one. I'm going to tell you a couple ways that we'll operate as a church. When we talk about this, we just had our annual meeting in which we approved our operating budget. And what we're talking about in this project is beyond that. So when we talk about, hey, we need to pray that God will help us give generously to this project, it's kind of above and beyond what we are already doing. I want to promise you that we, as a leadership, respect you, and we will not manipulate our congregation in this project. And we're going to try to be as fiscally conservative as we can going forward in this. Our church has a history of being debt averse, which is a really good thing. We've had some debt in our history, but we've been very careful about it. And both Adrian and I know of friends who are pastors who are toiling under a really unhealthy level of debt. We don't want that for our church. We don't want it for you and your family. And we pray that God will help us to proceed in this way to pay off the loan, if we take a loan, as quickly as possible. You know some of the history of Calvary. In 1998, we began a project here that was almost $3 million. And we paid that off completely by 2003. In 2005, we did another project to reconfigure our property here that was almost $1 million. And we paid that off in 2008. What we're praying for is that we would proceed along the same lines to be very cautious. And we're not going to do anything until we pay off all of the land. And what we're proposing this morning is that beginning today is the start of phase one. And we're going to pray that God will help us, perhaps by closing on June 9th, to raise all of $685,000. We already have received $158,000. Today, I'm telling you that a number of our families have gotten together and provided Secondly, a matching fund by June 5th of $225,000. So what we're going to say for the next 5 weeks, we're not going to preach about money every Sunday morning. We're just going to say, okay, this is what we have before us. And by God's grace, if by June 5th we can receive another $225,000 that will help us fill that matching gift, then the only thing we'll be missing is another $77,000. So in other words, we're within striking range of having phase one. But we're trusting God that sometime, perhaps by June 5th, we might receive it all. Now, some of you might be here today and say, well, I'd like to write a check for $1 million today. Okay, you can do that too. We'll accept that. But I here's what I pray, that all of us would say, well, what's my part in this? And then I'd say, well, how can I contribute to what God wants to do around the world and wants to do in our next second campus? I also want to say to you that, you know, Calvary Bible Church wants to be strongly rooted on simple principles of stewardship. We've made a decision as leadership not to hire someone to come in and teach us or lead us through a process of raising dollars. Okay? A lot of churches do that, and we considered it, and it's not wrong necessarily. But we just said, you know, rather than spending the money to have someone come in and tell us how to give generously or whatever, we're going to say, we're going to tell God's people, we're going to trust God to provide for us, and we're going to move ahead and pray that God will provide all of the resources that we need. How wonderful would it be if we got it all 685 or more by closing on June 9th? So we're targeting June 5th for that. If we don't receive all of that, that'll be the first order of business. But we're going to talk about it for the next 4 or 5 weeks. And then we're not going to talk about it for summer. We're not going to talk about it every week. And then beginning in the fall, we'll begin to talk about phase two, which will be a little bit of a longer stewardship project that we'll do together. Today in your bulletin is this card, which we're asking you to take and just begin to pray about it. Lord, how do you want me to respond to the giving, to our next step of being a church of building, blessing, and bridging? And when you leave today at the Welcome Centers, there is a timeline for you to look through, a way that you can say, well, what's the vision of this project, and what's the timeline for it? And it's our tentative timeline as we've put it down on paper and said, this is where we think we're heading together as a church. Here's what I believe God's going to do for us as we all trust Him. I think that for some of us in this room, God is going to flow resources to you in the next 3 to 5 weeks, months, years that you did not know were coming. Who's the provider of all of our resources? Everything we have comes from God. We affirm that together. If this is God's project, He will provide for us. We will not be slick. And I promise, so help us God. People will not say, oh, they're just trying to be slick. I think the greater accusation will be, they don't know what they're doing. And I say, that's probably true. Yeah, that's probably true. Here's what I know. I'm going to trust God. And the next step for the advancement of the kingdom, we've trusted and prayed, is a second campus where people can gather to be built, be trained to be a blessing to community, and understand what it is to bridge to a world that needs Christ. That's what we want. Hey, I can trust God for that. And you can too. But I just pray that what you'll be aware of is if God flows resources to you suddenly, unexpectedly, that you would first be thinking, God, why are you giving this to me? And it could be that it is that He wants you to release it for this next step of Calvary Bible Church. So that's where we are. It might be good for us to close the service by looking at the handout verse at the top, which comes from 1 Chronicles 29, another building project that God embarked on and carried out through his people. Both riches and honor come from you. Amen? That's right. Riches and honor come from God. And you rule over all. And in your hand, David said, your hand is power and might, and it lies in your hand to make great and to strengthen everyone. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and we praise your glorious name. This was after God provided for the building of his temple. And that's what we're going to trust. God, it's in your hand to make great, to strengthen, to do. Riches and honor are in your hand, and we trust you. That's how we're stepping out in our next step. But it will be a step of faith. And I pray that you'll be with us as we see the big picture of being the church that continues to be a church of blessing and building and bridging to the world. Let's pray together. God, I pray that you will give to us a heart of love. Love for you and values that are equal to what is in your heart. That we will love your people, that we will love the world, and that we will have the right perspective of all of our resources. And I'm so thankful, God, that we have the privilege of taking a step together as a congregation to build another campus and to purchase this land and to bless Erie and Weld County and the world. And I pray that you'll begin to put it into our heart what is the role that you would have us to play in this next step. And I pray, God, as you're able to do, that you'll begin to awaken our hearts with a deep generosity. And what resources we have, you'll give us a freedom to release them to you and to your glory in the building of a facility that will help bless families and children and students and the world. We pray that you'll do this for your glory. And we all say together, yours is the glory. Yours is the honor and the praise, and you have the ability to do exceedingly and abundantly beyond all that we could ask or think. And so, Lord, we trust you in that, and we pray that over the next weeks you will continue to provide all that we need. We pray for it together in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Amen.